Thus says the Lord, keep justice, do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring in to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him beside those already gathered. Amen. And we thank the Lord for his word. And we pray that he will gather yet others to himself here even this morning. Let's join our hearts together. Let's pray. Let us pray. Oh, Almighty Father and merciful God, as we gather here in Craigie Hill in our hall, as those listen on the phone and indeed watch on our YouTube, Lord, we acknowledge and confess you, Lord, before you, that you are majestic, that you are all powerful, you are majestic. Oh Lord, that we are in comparison, Lord, frail, that we are poor, miserable sinners. Lord, we are conceived in our mother's womb and born into wickedness, born into corruption. Oh Father, we're prone to evil. We're unable to do good. We are violators of your holy commandments. Each one of us here, from the youngest baby, only weeks old, or to the oldest. Oh Lord, our God, how your anger smolders against us. And Lord, surely you, the judge of all the earth, will do right. Lord, to the sinner, you will give indeed and bring eternal punishment. But oh Lord, we are sorry and we regret our provoking of your anger. Lord, we want to repent of our sins and earnestly desire that, oh Father, you would show us your grace. Your grace would come to help us in our misery and in our distress. Have mercy on us according to your unfailing love. Forgive our sins through the suffering indeed of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May then you indeed grant to us your Holy Spirit. Oh Father, teach us here this even this morning to acknowledge our unrighteousness, to put to death sin, and to rise again to new life. And Father, this morning we ask that your Spirit would open up your word to us, that we may learn from it and find our confidence in you alone. Our Father, may we offer to you our lives as living sacrifices to the glory of your holy name through our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Indeed, as we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It was good to pray together. And perhaps it's been a while since we've been able to do that, but it is good. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing Psalm 69, Save Me, O God. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Let's turn in God's word to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. We read all of chapter 6 last week. We'll read chapter 7, the first 9 verses. Let's hear God's word. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pelach, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Sher-shasub, your son, and at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, be careful, be quiet, and do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrand at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, the sons of Remaliah. Because Syria, with Ephraim and the sons of Remaliah, have devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the sons of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God. It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in the faith, you will not be firm at all. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. If you're not firm in the faith, you will not be firm at all. We pray the Lord will increase the firmness of our faith here this morning in his son, the Lord Jesus. We're going to read from Matthew. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 27. We here encounter in verse 45 through to verse 46, the death of Christ. 45 to 56 in Matthew 27. Let's hear God's word. Now in the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lemeth sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait and see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly this was the Son of God. And there were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. Boys and girls, this morning, watching on our TV, watching on your TV, we're not watching a TV, you might be watching a TV, and also the boys and girls who are here this morning, I wonder, do you like playing hide and seek? Does anyone play hide and seek? Do you know how it works? Yes, one person goes out to hide, and then the other perhaps counts to 10, and then goes out to try to find them. We like playing hide and seek at 22 Bruston Bray. We have all kinds of hiding places, don't we, in our house, Phoebe and Joshua. maybe behind the sofa or in the curtains. Curtains can be a little bit scary sometimes because there's spiders sometimes about there. Maybe under the table, behind a door. One time Josh even hid himself in the garage, and that was scary for mommy and daddy. The garage is now locked at all times, boy. Hiding places, hide and seek. I wonder, do the Warriors have any hiding places? Hide and seek? Yes, good, good. In our passage this morning, we read, and we've just read about Jesus' death, but also how we can be hidden and also sought out by God. That's a strange thing to think about, but look here in the passage. In the sixth hour, that's about 12 p.m., so now it's about 11:15, so about 3/4 hour, about 12 o'clock, from 12 o'clock to 3 p.m., it was dark. It was dark in the land. And at the end of that, Jesus cries out to the Lord. He is bearing, he is under a lot of suffering, he is in pain, and he's bearing our sin. And at the end of that, he cries out and he yields us up with his spirit. That means he dies. But boys and girls, as we listen, we can't hide from Jesus. The Bible tells us actually that what's happening here is that you and me, Jesus' children, as we believe in him and trust in him, we can be hid in him, hid in him. That's a strange thought, but it's also a wonderful one. When Jesus dies on the cross, and Christ cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, when he dies on the cross, it is to make sure, boys and girls, mums and dads, that God cannot see our sin, that it would be hid in Jesus, paid for by him. And as ably as Christ washes away our sin, then we can be found. It's wonderful. God finds us. We can be hid in Jesus and then found. Found clean and spotless by God, just like Jesus. It's wonderful that we can be safe in Jesus. I want to look at the text. We're going to do that with your moms and dads, and you too, because you're well able to listen along as we think about the passage and find out all the more how we can be hid in Christ and how Christ achieved that as he was obedient even unto death, and then apply the good news as Christ comes to save our lives. 4:45, the mockers fell silent. Normally the brightest part of the day, just as I was saying, 12 o'clock. It's not too bright at the moment here, but yesterday it was lovely. Well, once that sort of the mist kind of burnt off, it was quite a nice sunny day yesterday, and it's been a beautiful past week, hasn't it? And at 12 o'clock, the sun's at its highest. It's the brightest normally. And so it was in the land of Israel as well. But here we're told, at the brightest part of the day, it was dark from 12 to 3. Creation itself almost closing its eyes in humble observance of the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's emptying himself to redeem his people, to save us, undergoing the judgment of God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? His wrath against sin. Truly, he did not spare his only begotten Son. And at the end of the stillness, this 3 p.m., Jesus breaks the silence. And he cries out in anguish as his body and soul endure punishment, the punishment that was due to us. And he recites that, what he has learned from a boy, from the youngest boy. He would have learned the Jewish hymn book. He would have learned in his mother's knee and his father's, as his father's commands and teaching. He would have learned the Psalms. And Psalm 22 and 2, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not just the punishment of the flesh that Christ underwent, but his very soul inside, his inside. Sometimes we can be sad inside. Inside. His soul was felt with a sadness that none of us could know. We could not bear what he was bearing. And he uses the Psalms to express that. Christ is undergoing the righteous anger of God against sin. And he's doing everything necessary in the weakness of flesh to redeem us. And while so doing in his human nature, yet he was also the divine Son of God, the mediator. He'd not abandoned who he was as God. Or he had not been abandoned by God. But with power, he's able to complete this great exchange, this great transaction. And Christ, hearing Christ cry out, these soldiers, remember soldiers about, they hear him. And they try to turn his prayer into mocking. They try to mock Jesus. And then they joke and they say, maybe he's crying out about Elijah. Maybe this prophet who didn't die is going to come to his aid. Of course, they speak of that which they do not know. Who had already bore witness to Christ on that mountaintop but Elijah himself? And who was Elijah's successor? John. And John had already hailed him as Messiah. They're trying to mock, they're trying to distract, and they're trying to imply that Jesus isn't addressing the Lord God, and God wasn't listening, but he was. God was listening to his Son, and he's going to prove his Son right, and all of those who are found in him. Perhaps the soldiers, having taunted him verbally, now try to physically annoy him. They poke him, they would offer up this sponge with wine vinegar. Did not stir us as we sung that in the psalm earlier. They offered up to him this wine vinegar. And what terse detail, they placed it on a stick that it might reach his mouth as our Savior was lifted high on the cross. And Mark records that the soldier offering him the vinegar speaks, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him." And the rest, as Matthew records, picks this up and they jeer along, "Let Elijah save him." Finally, verse 50, Jesus cries out again with a loud voice. And Luke records what he said. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Matthew records the result. He gave up his spirit. In the King James, we know it well, don't we? He yielded up the ghost. To the Roman soldiers watching, perhaps he just looked like another normal man, maybe with extraordinary claims, dying as countless others had by their hands at cruel crucifixions. But friends, there was a spiritual triumph occurring. Jesus knows that God is his witness, doesn't he? And the work of redemption is near complete. The serpent's head to be crushed and the floodgates of God's promised mercy to be flung open to every soul and the redeemed found in Christ. And thus Christ can commit his spirit to the Lord in assurance of the vindication of that he'd be proved right, and all of the elect from times past to time's end. Into your hands I commit my spirit. With the sacrificial lamb slain, verse 51, the just for the unjust, it was right and proper that the temple veil that would be torn, rent asunder from top to bottom. Christ, the everlasting priest, had just abolished the legal sacrificial system. It had pointed towards him, and he has now just opened the way by his blood to the presence of God. The people would no longer need stand at a distance. There would be no more social distancing. But we could be joined to a royal priesthood and know the Lord with closeness and joy. And this is a spiritual understanding of that veil torn from top to bottom. But there were also people there who were watching that veil being torn to bottom, from top to bottom, and they did not understand it as such, without any spiritual comprehension. The Jews, they just saw the outward abolishing of the sacrificial system. And they still today, to this day, so many, without the Lamb of God, no inner saving light, no understanding of the heart. And Matthew informs of two more miraculous occurrences. The earth trembled, the rocks were split in testimony to the event, and the graves, wonder if you've ever gone slow through this part of Matthew and wondered perhaps a little bit about this, the graves of the saints, the holy ones in Jerusalem, were opened and raised, they were raised to life. The many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And 3 days later, after Christ's resurrection, they were seen about the city. They were friends and a witness to the new life in Christ and the resurrection that belongs to us all. In some part, then, a few believers, but we await the whole body of the church gathered to him in the coming again. 54 and 56, the dead and the earth have bear witness, so now also do some at the foot of the cross. The centurion, we had said that last week, actually, that some from that company would bear witness, and here we see it. The centurion and some from the company are mentioned first. Their pagan eyes were open in some way to see that which the religious Jews could not see, that God was bringing forth the glory of Christ. And they confessed that which they had not learned from a book and they had not learned from a rabbi. What did they say? Truly this was the Son of God. And there were many women there, Matthew tells us. The disciples had fled. Left there were the women and, of course, the Apostle John. And these women bear testimony to the history and to the unfolding of redemption. They cared for Jesus all along the way from Galilee. And now they were there at his humbled end. And Matthew singles out three in particular. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son, and has been identified as Salome. What a passage this morning. What a passage. You know, Churchill has many famous and well-known quotes. I thought with the weekend that it is, as we celebrate, indeed, remember VJ Day, I thought I would quote from Churchill at the start of our application. I think one apt for us. This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. It is perhaps the end of the beginning. Matthew 27 and verse 50 is not the end of the Lord or the beginning of the end of the Lord. Those Roman soldiers might have thought so during the crucifixion, but their tune was so soon changed, wasn't it, as God's glory was revealed. What about us this morning here as we gather, as we watch, as we listen? What do you think about the end of Christ here? I want to think about ends. I want to think about beginnings here in this from this passage. First, the end of the humbled Lord, and yet the beginning of his being proved right, his vindication. At the ninth hour, what a cry of anguish the Lord made, in body and soul, enduring the punishment due to us. The man of sorrows, by whose bruises we are healed. How the eternal God, Son of God, could utter those words, forsaken. Why have you forsaken me? It reveals but a mere glimpse to you and I of the sadness of this trial and the heaviness of the judgment for our transgressions. Yet his faith was perfect on the God in whom he relied. He begins, Lema, Lema, my God, my God. Only the faultless Son of God could endure such righteous anger against sin in his person. And then he cries out again, his faith once again undefeated. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The debt of sin owed to God being paid for by that final breath and surrender of his spirit. The debt of sin owed to God paid. Paid. And not just in his spirit was surrendered. Not just his spirit was surrendered, but every one of the elect, those who believe in him, to be kept by the Father. Christ in humiliation met death with confidence that the Lord was pleased with him. And the end of our Lord's humiliation on the cross should be an example to us here as we gather, as we watch, as we listen. I gather, it should be an example that should the Lord not return before his calling of us, and that every Christian in this room, listening and watching, should resolve to do as countless Christians have done before, as the Lord Jesus Christ showed us on the cross. When we come to the end, when we come to death, that we would be assured of God's protection and God's keeping in Christ. Friends, we want to say at the end, as the martyr Stephen did, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And say it not trusting in our own frail work, but believing upon Christ, who has gone on ahead. At the end, we go in our thoughts and our beliefs, not to the church, not into the air, not through the window, but to our faithful guardian, who keeps all those whom the Father has given him. We gather in times of COVID. There's heightened anxiety about death, about illness. And especially at the time when we as Christians need to be reminded about our confidence, it is good for us to hear that our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in our work, but in our humbled, vindicated, now exalted Savior. Friends, we are a people with history this morning. We're a people with history. A history from the earliest martyrs to those who were in the Colosseums and stared lions in the eyes and knew that Jesus Christ had gone on ahead. We're people who stood and stared at the Goths and the Van Goths pouring into Rome. I knew that the Dark Ages would not be so dark, but would be kept, and the light kept, as our Savior keeps us. A people who went through the Reformation, I knew that the Lord would keep us and keep us safe. We're a people who came to this land and were kept. And we're given an ability to share the gospel. We are a people today who have a confidence of staring death and danger in the face with a heavenly confidence. Not our own, but a heavenly confidence. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And friends, every one of the elect who believeth on him are saved. We have a confidence about death. Because of the cross, you know, for all those times perhaps whenever you haven't felt a confidence in Christ, when it's all been too much, and I know for some it has been. I know for some it has been. The last 4 months, you have been, for much, we've been cut off from hearing the preacher, from hearing the gospel gathered. I know we've been able to do it on the internet, but there is something as we gather. There is something as we gather and allowed to gather. And maybe for you, all you've heard, and a lot of what you've heard has been the media. You've been heard the secular world. How we need to hear the gospel. How we need to hear the gospel. And if you have ran from your convictions, if your faith has faltered, believer this morning, there is repentance and there is fresh forgiveness. There is repentance and there is fresh forgiveness. Your God will not forsake you. His promises of forgiveness are firm and secure in the work witnessed by us here. How can we be sure of these things? Well, I want to think of the end of disbelief and the beginning of belief. What signs accompanied the Lord at the state in a state of humiliation here? How many in that great land of Israel paid no attention to the darkness? How could you do it? You might be saying to yourself, well, if I was there, I definitely would have paid attention to the darkness. I definitely would have paid attention to the earthquakes. There was people who were dead walking about in Jerusalem in 3 days' time witnessing. I definitely would have paid attention. Well, this God's glory and the Son was hidden from them. They had no eyes to see or ears to hear. Only hard hearts to the way, to the truth, and the life. I am preaching, I am proclaiming Christ here. But what do you think? What do you think? It is no advantage to you if the veil of unbelief still covers your heart. You would just be the same as those Jews of old who saw and heard of these things and had no saving impression was made. Maybe you do have a fear of God, a growing distaste for sin. But if only for a moment, as we gather, well, look at those soldiers and those centurions. They mocked Christ. They thought at the end of him. And then they did exclaim, truly this was the Son of God. It frequently happens sometimes that people can be stirred up to fear of God. And maybe that centurion and those soldiers, they were stirred up. But did they devote themselves to God for the rest of their lives? I don't know. Have you? Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? What did Simon Peter answer him? Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom can we go this morning? You have the words of eternal life, the Lord God. The women had both confessed him Lord, and they believed in their hearts. They were followers of Christ to the end there at the cross. And then in the beginning of the day at the empty tomb, they were seeing history in action. And their Lord who writes it. And what confidence is theirs? And what confidence is ours? That our sins, though they be many, his grace, it is more. Friends, I often hear a lot about talk about how Jesus saved me on such and such a date. Jesus saved me on such and such a date. I got saved when I was this age. I got saved on this date. Yes, very well, you may remember the day and the hour that you first believed, but you were not saved then. You were not saved then. Verse 50 is when you were saved. When the Son of God finishes his sorrows and rests in the promises of the Father. His death, your death. The complete atonement and propitiation for the sinner's sin. You're saved those thousands of years ago. His spirit into the protection of the Lord and your spirit bundled up with him. As we talked to the kids about, hid in him. You were saved by the Savior's end on that cross nearly 2,000 years ago. And so can believe that saving light is solely in him and his work. May God apply his word to his heart, our hearts this morning concerning the end of Christ to break the captive's power and the beginning of saving doctrine. Let's pray, shall we? Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's hear the gospel. Enjoy it applied to our hearts. Our Father, as we come before you, we want to ask, O Lord, humbly, that you would renew us in the image of your Son by the preaching of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. O Father, fend off Satan that we may not tear his holy word from our hearts. O Lord, we thank you for the gospel. And Father, as we're displeased with ourselves and our sin, and we believe that solely that we're forgiven through the merit of Jesus Christ alone, we resolve to die to sin more and more and serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness. O Lord, to those this morning who believe these things, Father, we thank you that they are loosened from all sin in heaven by the perfect satisfaction and the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, to those here this morning and those listening and those watching, perhaps who are taking pleasure in sin, Father, how you are a righteous and a wrath-filled God who will not spare the sinner. O Lord, lead them to boundless, eternal salvation. Our Father, we do remember each one here and gathered. Lord, we ask that according to the conditions and to the needs, Lord, would you lead them by pass with your gracious help and diligent obedience. We think particularly of our young people here this morning who have received results week past, and Lord, more to be received this incoming week. Oh, Father, we pray that you would remind them of patience. Father, would you remind them of patience and tribulation? Oh, Lord, help them to seek Christ and to follow in the footsteps of their Savior. Lord, that they may accept what indeed you have for them. Grant them wisdom, O Lord, as they navigate these tricky circumstances. Lord, bless us each one. Remember those who are suffering, experiencing dark and difficult days, the lonely and the solitary, the afflicted, the sick and the aged, the cold and the hungry, the homeless and the imprisoned, the persecuted and the grief-stricken. O Lord, lead them to the one who says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Lead them to the one, indeed, who has committed his spirit into your hands. Lord, answer these our prayers because of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I think we'll end our service of worship. We're going to sing The Power of the Cross. Oh, to see the dawn. That's astonishing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.